Okay, today we're starting a new Masechet Chulin, okay, which is also called Shchita Chulin, like as opposed to Shchita Kodshim that we saw a reference a few days ago. They said we were learning Shchita Kodshim, which is another word for Masechet Zvachim. And as we said, this is in Seder Kodshim, right? Even though this is Chulin, it seems a little strange, right? We're learning about something that's Chol in the Seder Kodshim. But first of all, there's a lot of overlap because we're going to get into basically the laws of Shechita. And the laws of Shechita obviously also apply to the laws of Shechita in the Mikdash. Right? If you notice in Zvachim, we talked all about Shechita, but we got a little bit into it, but we never really explained how exactly Shechita is done and all the details, and that's what we're going to get into now. So there's clear overlap. I wanted to just start with the Pasuk in Dvarim where we get that there's actually a mitzvah aseh to do Shechita. It's actually a strange mitzvah aseh because it's a mitzvah aseh you have to do if you decide to eat meat, right? In other words, it's not like you have to do it, but I guess there's lots of other mitzvah aseh that aren't necessary, like even tzitzit. You can say you don't have to do it unless you actually wear a baguette. No, it's not that it doesn't apply to everyone. It's that it only applies if you're going to actually do something. But I guess it's, right, tzitzit can be perceived the same way, and I'm sure there's many more. Okay, so it says here, it's the section in Dvarim, Perek Yubeh Pasuk Kaf, Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha ekvulcha, kasher diber lach, va'amarta ochla basar, right? When you live in the land and you decide you want to eat meat. Ki taven nefshecha lecho basar, b'chol avat nefshecha tcho basar. You can eat anything you want. Ki yurchat mimcha makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha lasum shmo sham, v'zavachta mibkarcha umitzoncha, asher natan Hashem Elokecha lecha kasher tziviticha, v'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avat nefshecha. Okay, that's already v'zavachta. Right, that means you should slaughter from your animals. From there, they get the mitzvah of slaughter. One thing that Shanz has pointed out in this introduction, which I think is interesting to point out, is he says basically that this also has to do with kodeshim. Why? Because what is kodesh? To sanctify, right? And we even sanctify the chol. And that the idea of slaughtering and having all these laws regarding slaughtering are a way of saying, take the chol and sanctify it, right? Even when you're eating basar, the idea is to make it holy. And how do we make things holy? By limiting, right? That's often a way that we make things holy, by limiting, so there's only certain ways that you can shecht animals, just like laws of kashrut in general. And he also points out that eating animals is b'di'evet, that really in the beginning of creation, right, it was vegetarianism was really what they were doing. They weren't allowed to eat animals till later, and that basically what he's claiming is that it's a way of limiting our use of eating animals by making it more difficult. It's a way of limiting our ability to eat animals. I was thinking about it the other day, because vegetarianism just keeps coming up and how things are so different than they were. You know, now people are so much more conscious of the effect of it on the environment, and so many more people are vegetarian nowadays than, you know, in general. So anyway, thinking in that context, it's interesting that he was basically saying that possible one of the reasons of Shechita was to limit man's ability to eat animals, even though it says b'chol avat nefshecha, whenever you want, it's not really whenever you want. So you have to do it in a particular way. And interestingly, the Masechet starts out with, right, we always think Shechita is kind of complicated, not everyone can do it, you have to really know what you're doing. But the first words of Chulin start out, hakol shochatin. Okay, anyone can shecht. Now, it doesn't mean, obviously, anyone. You have to be knowledgeable and know what you're doing. And the Sikhan, the Shulchan Aruch, is more specific that, you know, you have to actually know the laws, and maybe a rabbi has to sign off on you that you're a good shochet. But basically, anyone is at least kasher to do shchita. Okay, before we even move on to any more words, I want to look in Tosfot for a minute. Hakol shochatin seems to include what? What would you say is included? Okay, the Gemara is going to say, one second, the Mishnah is going to say, before I'm skipping over two words, chutz mecheresh shoteh v'katan, okay, except for those. So what does that mean?
Women can,
right? Sounds pretty obvious. Look in Tosfot. Hakol shochatin, katub behilchot Eretz Yisrael, dinashim lo yishchitu, mipnei sheda'atan kalot. Okay? Women, da'atan kalot, and because da'atan kalot, okay, they're lightheaded, okay, so what is it, right? When we see, like the Rambam uses it in the sense they shouldn't learn Torah because da'atan kalot, right? That's the famous Rambam. But here, da'atan kalot seems to mean they're queasy. In other words, they'll see blood and they'll faint. And then obviously the shechita is not going to go so well. As they're not fit for that kind of a job. Okay? So, yeah, interesting. And Hilchot Eretz Yisrael, by the way, okay, we're going to get to this when we get to Nida, but many of the chumras of the harchakot, all the separation that needs to happen, you know, all the passing this, that, you know, not doing avoda in the house, and all sorts of things that were, there was all these chumrot that women weren't allowed to work in the house while they were in Nida, and many of those chumrot come from, it's called Brita de Nida, and it's a source that came from the Gaonic time period, most people think, from Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz, it seems that the Eretz Yisrael minhag was kind of a little bit less open-minded to women in terms of their view of women, their, you know, the whole thing that a woman can't touch something in the house when she's in Nida is somewhat of a, you know, she's got the cooties kind of thing, right? Just keep away from
her. That was a Tumah Tara.
It was Tumah Tara, but it was taken more to the extreme than it was in other places. Not everybody viewed it. First of all, there was no Tumah Tara in those days anyway. There was no Beit HaMikdash, so nobody was being bakfid on Tumah Tara the way they were in the time of the Mikdash. And anyway, it's interesting that Dafkin and Hilchot Eretz Yisrael, they had this approach, also the women lay shchitu because that tan kalot. And Tosfot goes right after it and says, what, you know, goes against this Hilchot Eretz Yisrael, says, what are you talking about? It says in Zvachim, okay, we're going to read the third line, Tosfot, kol ha'psulim sheshachatu, do you have it in l'chatchila lo, or mini v'shachat? Okay, whatever. He's quoting part of it, but it says there that women can be shochet lechatchila. Okay, we're going to see it later on the daf. Kol ha'psulim sheshachatu shchitatan kshera, sheshchita kshera bezarim, benashim, ba'avadim, ubetmeim, afilu b'kodshi kodshim. Okay, they can even slaughter kodshim. Women can slaughter kodshim. So basically, he says, I don't know where you're coming off saying this, and it's obvious that women can do shchita. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that women can do shchita, but the Rama says better to be machmir and not to have women do shchita. Okay, I don't remember the wording. I didn't bring it here. But anyway, it's an interesting debate. I'm pretty sure the Rama says, from what I read, that better not to, but, you know, Ikar Adin, everyone agrees that women can, and it's just interesting. There's this source that says no. Okay, so that was all on the first two words. Hakol shochatin. Okay, so like I was saying a minute ago, right, or a few minutes ago, that on the one hand, we maybe like Steinsaltz's approach, we want to limit shchita. On the other hand, we're basically saying anyone can do shchita. Now, of course, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know how to do it, and we're going to see the details are very, you know, very detailed, how exactly it can be done, and in what way, etc. Okay, akol shochatinu shchitatan kshera. Okay, so anyone can shecht, and their shchita is valid. Seems like a very strange thing. What do you mean? If hakol shochatin, then obviously the shchita is valid. What's it talking about? This is going to be a big question in the Gemara. And okay, that's where they're going to be our first question in the Gemara. They're going to have a whole discussion about the question in general. And then, we're not going to get to all this today. We're only going to get to the first answer. But there's going to be six answers to how to read the Mishnah to make it make sense. Because these first four words really make no sense. Okay, we've been already going for 8 minutes, and we're only on the first four words. Okay. Hakol shochatin u'shchitatan k'shera. Chutz mi, who can't do shchita, chereish shoteh v'katan. Why? Shema yekalkilu et shchitatan. We're worried that they're not in full control of their actions. They won't really do it properly. And because of that, we're worried about their shchita. V'kulan sheshachatu. No. All of these who were shochet, we're going to have to see, depending on how we understand the Mishnah, who are these people, sheshachatu, okay? And probably it sounds like the chereish shoteh v'katan, if they did the shechita anyway, v'achirin ro'inotan, and other people, meaning adults who know how to do shechita, are watching them, and they see that it was all done properly, b'diyeved shechitatan k'shera. Okay, they can't do it l'chatchila, but if they already shechted it and people saw and they saw that it was good, then that shechita is acceptable.
It's also interesting that right away they're not worried about safety. I mean, you don't want a little kid running around with a knife.
Right.
But deaf person can't put a blind person, no problem.
Right, interesting that they don't put blind people here. It is very interesting.
They probably don't need to.
Well,
right, it's a good question. Could you do it blind? Like, if you really know the parts
blind,
and where they're...
There.
Right, that's what she's saying. It doesn't say blind. It seems odd. It seems like a blind person. How could you have a blind person do it?
Usually they say... as a group.
Right, but it usually doesn't include a blind person. Blind people are in a different category, so it's interesting. Okay, so the Gemara starts out, HaKol Shochatin sounds like L'chatchila, right? That HaKol Shochatin means L'chatchila, anyone can get up and do it. U'shchitatang shera, whenever we say shchitatang shera, look at the end of the Mishnah, right? Kulan shachatu v'achirim ro'inata, shchitatang shera. Okay, well, b'diyevet, we'll say it's okay. So shchitatang shera sounds like diavad. So how can we say hakol shochatin l'chatchila, and then a second later we say u'shchitatang shera b'diyevet? Obviously, if it's good l'chatchila, it's good b'diyevet. It doesn't make any sense. So first we're going to have a question on the question, okay? Then eventually we're going to get to, okay, you can follow in the chart. I charted it out so it's clear where we're going. First, we're going to have a question on the question, okay? I wrote it here, Dechiyat HaKoshi al Yedei Rav Acha. Rav Acha says, what kind of a question is this anyway? Because, Amar Leh Rav Acha Berei DeRava LeRav Ashi, Bekol HaKol L'chatchilahu, every time it says HaKol, you're assuming it's L'chatchila, it could be HaKol K'sherin U'Shchitatan K'shera B'Dievet. B'Dievet, anyone can do a Shchita, but not L'chatchila. Okay, maybe that's what it means. How do we know that not every hakol is lechatchila? So he says, elameata hakol mimirin, everyone can be memir a behema onto another one. Echad anashim ve'hanashim ve'echad anashim. Hachinami de lechatchila hu. Okay, what's the Mishnah in Tmura says, everyone can be memir. Now, what does this mean? Doesn't mean lechatchila. It's asur to be memir behema. What's memir? It's tmura. We've talked about this many times. Tmura is when I say, I take an animal, I'm going to bring this animal for a korban, and then I say, I'm going to bring an animal instead of this animal. Now, it's asur to do that, okay? But if I do it, what happens? The hamara, my transfer, works to the extent that the new animal has sanctity. However, it doesn't work to remove the sanctity from the first. What is this Mishnah saying? Everyone who does tamura, in other words, who would do this kind of a thing, which is usher to do, it works, right? So if a woman sets aside an animal, then switches it to another animal, both animals are sanctified, okay? So here you see hakol mimirim can't be lechatchila v'haktiv. What does it mean, lechatchila? Lechatchila, you're allowed to do tamura? Of course not. Haktiv lo yachlifena v'lo yamir oto tov b'ra ora b'tov. You can't switch a good animal for a bad animal, and you can't even switch a bad animal for a good animal. It's a sur to do this.
But tomorrow is presumably a good animal for a good animal because it was good enough in the first place.
No, well, it just means a better one. Okay, you have one that was okay, it was passable, but now you found a better one. You might think, oh, I can switch it to a better one, but you're not allowed to do that. Right? Where do we see you can do that? In the Parah Aduma. Remember? But there, right, you have to redeem it and whatever. But, okay, so now, what do we, right, because the paradigm is not a sacrifice. This is different. So anyway, what do we say here? So obviously, I'm sure you figured this out, but these are two totally different hakols, right? We're comparing apples and oranges here. This is, right, hatam, so Rav Ashi answers, hatam ki dekatani tama, lo sha'adam rashai lahamir, ela she'im hemir mumar. Right? You know, it's not that you're allowed to. It's not talking about can a person do tmura or not. And it's saying, hakol kshirim to do this, right? Here we're trying to figure out, is someone kashir to do the following, right? The act of shchita. There, it's not sha'adam rashai lahamir, ela, what's it trying to say? That it's effectivity, right? Im hemir, mumar, it works, right? That if person did it, it works, and they get malkot. So hakol there is referring to, is it effective or not? And here it's talking about, can one do it or not? So those are totally different hakols. You can't ask a question from there. But now comes the second question where he can really prove it. Ela hakol, by the way, I just want to point out that this is very common in the beginning of Masechta. I don't know if you remember, but there's a lot of Masechta where all of a sudden in the beginning, we start bringing sugyas from all over, and we start learning all sorts of other halachot. You figure we're starting the Masechta, we're going to start learning all about chulin, and instead they start jumping to all the places, and we start learning. Here we're going to learn about tomorrow, we're going to learn about nidarim, all sorts of things. So now, they say, Ela hakol ma'arichim v'ne'erachim, nodrim v'nidarim. Everyone can, and it's both men, women, any people can give the value of something to the Beit HaMikdash, say, Harei Allah, I'm going to give the value of a person to the Beit HaMikdash, Vin Ne'erachin, and someone could say, I'm giving the value of anyone to the Beit HaMikdash, right? It doesn't matter who you are, all people are part of this. And no dream v'nidarim. All people can take a neder and could be taking a neder against, sort of, right? Someone could vow not to get hana'ah from anybody. Hachanami de lechatchila. What, you think this is lechatchila? That everyone mi lechatchila can do this? How do we know it's not lechatchila? V'hakti, this goes back to something we learned a number of times. V'chi techta lindor lo yiye b'chachet. Right? If you start making a neder, you won't have a chet. It won't be fruit, right? It's not a... What does that mean? When you stop taking a neder, you won't have a chet, which means what? That if you do take a neder, you will get a chet, right? This is that whole tfisa that we've seen, that taking vows is frowned upon by the halacha. Okay, that's a pasuk in Tvarim. Now we're going to see a pasuk in Kohelet. Uchtiv, tov asher lo tidor mishatidor velo teshalem. Right, better not to take a neder at all than to take a vow and then not fulfill your vow. Vitanya, and the Braita talks about this and says, tov mize umize she'eino noder kol ikar. Right, and better, right, there's asher lo tidor mishatidor velo teshalem. And the Braita says, better, right, you can fulfill your vow, you can take a vow and fulfill it, but better not to take a vow at all. Better off not to be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tov Mizeh Mizeh Nodero Meshalem. He says, no, really the highest is actually someone who takes a vow and does his vow, fulfills it. So you might say, well, maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is Lechatchila. Right? Clearly according to Rabbi Meir, this is not Lechatchila, because he says, better never to take a vow. So Akom Arichim, right, an Erchin is also a vow, and a kol no dream is clearly not lechatchila because it's frowned upon. Va'afilu Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbi Yehuda says tov mizeh umizeh no derem shalem lo ka'amar ela ba'omer harezo. When he said better take a neder and to be mishal and fulfill your vow, he only says it in a case. This goes back to what we've been learning the last few weeks. If you say harezo. Harezo is not actually a neder, it's what we call a nidava, right? It's a type of vow, but it's a vow that you say in the lashon of, this is upon me. Why is it better to do that type of vow and rather than the other one? Because there's no achrayut, you don't have responsibility. If something happens to that animal, you don't have to bring another animal in its stead or whatever it might be, right? This is upon me to, right, this item. And if something happens to that item, so then you're absolved of responsibility. So that's the way Rabbi Yehuda said, better to take a neder mishalem, because at least you're taking a neder without responsibility. And if it's still there, so then you'll do what you said, and that's the best. But aval amar harei alai lo. Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda never said that if you say hare alai, because there you could really get yourself into a lot of trouble because you're responsible ad hasof, right? Even if something happens to the animal, and then you're basically taking a lot of responsibility upon yourself, and you might ultimately, you know, end up, you never really intended, you didn't think something was going to happen to, let's say, the animal, and you don't have enough money now to buy a new animal, and now you're stuck, and you're never going to fulfill your vow. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would never have said that that's the ideal. So therefore, we have this problem, because remember, we tried to say hakol mimirim, we said, oh no, that's a different use of the word hakol. It's not related. Is it effective or not? This is, you can actually do it, and what do you see here? It's not lechatchila, because nobody would say it's lechatchila, take a ned. Now one could claim maybe even within that you could find some opinion, but the Gemara thinks not. So therefore, right now, Rav Acha knocked off the question, because the question was hakol shochatin lechatchila, which is lechatchila, and shchitatan sheraz dieved, that seems to contradict. Rav Acha basically says, oh no, we see hakol is not necessarily lechatchila. Okay. Comes Rav Ashi and he says, okay, so fine, let's take what you said and I agree with you. But now you're going to say, v'kol hakol lav lechatchila? Who? Basically, Rav Ashi is saying, okay, what did we start off with? We said hakol is lechatchila. Then we say, came Rav Acha, and he said, hakol is lav lechatchila, right? Not lechatchila. Okay? Now, we're assuming it's either or. Either it's always lechatchila or it's always bidyev, right? So now, he's saying, okay, so you want to say from hakol nidarim that it's not lechatchila, and then that would resolve. We would have no question, basically. We'd knock out the question of the Gemara. But he says, I'm going to bring you some sources that say hakol is lechatchila. I'll bring you some other mishnayot. So here goes. Ela hakol chayavim b'tzitzit. Hakol chayavim b'suka, hakol chayavim b'tzitzit. Hachanam d'lav lechatchila. What, you're going to say that's not lechatchila? Everyone's chayav in sukkah and everyone's chayav in tzitzit. Notice there hakol doesn't mean women, right? So now he's going to say, what? That's also not lechatchila? How could you possibly say it's not lechatchila? Of course, the lechatchila chayavim b'sukkah and chayavim b'tzitzit. So what does Rav Acha answer? Ah, chayavim lo ka'amin. I wasn't, if it uses the lashon of chayavim, so there's hakol by itself, and there's hakol chayavim. So if you have hakol chayavim, of course that's lechatchila. If you have hakol by itself, then that's lav lechatchila. And what's our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, of course, didn't use chayavim, so Rav Acha can still stand with hakol is not lechatchila. Now comes the clincher. Elameata hakol sumchim echad ha'anashim. Going to take a break here for a second. It says here ve'echad ha'anashim. Okay, before we even get to what this is doing in the Gemara, we have a bit of a problem here. Why do we have a problem? Who remembers about smicha? It's one of the famous cases where, what do we say about smicha? Okay. Women are not chayavot, but there were two opinions that said, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who said it's reshut. Well, first we had the opinion that says it's reshut, and then they said there was a time where they went on Aliyah LaRegel, and the women all went to smicha, and they allowed them mishum nacharuach. But nobody in that whole thing says chayavim, and this seems to say, right, hakol sumchim means women are part of the chiyuv of smicha. So before we even get to what this is doing in the context, if you look at the Masoret HaShas, he says, chipasnu b'chol ha-mekomot, v'lo matzinu kem b'shum makom b'shas. Okay, it never says anywhere, hakol sumchim echad anashim ve'echad anashim. The adraba, and all the more, right? Hepech, ifcha matzinu. We've seen the opposite. Afilu Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, enu ela reshut, right? And even the opinion that says it's reshut, right? That's only reshut. Nobody would think hakoch sumchim, meaning they have to. So, anyway, it's a question. We have already two women related sugas on the first daf here. Ela me'ata, hakoch sumchim. So I'm going to read it without the echad anashim, because it doesn't seem to make sense. Hakoch sumchim, echad anashim, and whatever it says after that. Hachinami de lav lechatchila. You're going to say that's not lechatchila. V'hakti v'samach yado v'nirtza. Right? What does it say? Right? You have to do smicha. So there we have a hakol by itself. It doesn't say chayavim, and it's lechatchila. So now he knocks out Rav Acha right now. Okay. So now what does Rav Acha say? So what does Rav Acha answer in? Now he says, I didn't say every time it says hakol, it's not lechatchila. Sometimes it says hakol and it means lechatchila, and sometimes it says hakol and it doesn't mean lechatchila. And then, now remember where we started. The Gemara had a question saying hakol in our mission is lechatchila. And then Rav Acha said to Rav Ashi, why are we assuming hakol is lechatchila? Hakol could be bidiyah. And he starts to bring sources, and then they have this whole back and forth. So now he says like this, D'tikshilach, what I questioned you, Rav Ashi, was, Dilma diavidu, below tikshilach. The fact that the Gemara says hakol means lechatchila, since hakol could sometimes be lechatchila and sometimes be diavid, why is it so obvious to you that hakol here is lechatchila, and that would contradict the next verse, which is hakol is bidiyavid. That's what I meant. In other words, since hakol can go both ways, right, because we just proved it could go both ways, because we have all these different sources, some go one way, some go the other way. Basically, he says, what I meant was, since it could go both ways, why are you assuming it's lechatchila and asking your question, when in fact you could just say it's b'di'evet, and there's no question at all, because then it matches hakol shochatin v'shchitatan k'sheran. That would be perfect. So Amar Leh, so now Rav Ashi answers. It's actually an interesting structure, because the Gemara, the Stam Gemara, asks the question, and then Rav Acha starts questioning Rav Ashi, why are you assuming that's the question? So you'd have to assume that Rav Ashi agreed with the question of the Gemara, and basically it becomes this question, why did you say this, even when Rav Ashi didn't say it, it was the Stam Gemara that said it, but obviously Rav Ashi agrees with the Stam Gemara. So Amar Leh, Shchitatan K'sheira Kasheli. I was struggling with the fact that the words Shchitatan K'sheira appear here in the Mishnah. Why? Midekatani Shchitatan K'sheira Diavad. Right, shchitatan k'sheira sounds like we're saying it's b'di'evit. Michlal dehakol lechatchilahu. De'i di'avad, tarte di'avad lamali. If you want to say hakol shochatin is b'di'evit, then you wouldn't need shchitatan k'sheira. Tarte b'di'evit, two b'di'evits, you wouldn't need two lishanot that basically say the same thing. So what I was really struggling with is why they're those four words or those two phrases juxtaposed. It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense either which way. It doesn't make sense if they're both b'di'evet, because hakol shochatin is already b'di'evet. Shchitatan k'sheira, you wouldn't need. If you say Akol Kshavin is Lechatchila, then you're stuck with your question. It doesn't make any sense. So he's assuming it's not redundant, because that makes no sense to say two things that mean the same thing. So therefore, it must be they're contradictory. And if they're contradictory, well, then we have to resolve it. So now we end with, that's his question, okay? That's what he basically explains. So we're finished now. All we did so far is question the question, okay? Is it even a question to say that HaKol Shochatin is Lechatchila and Shchitatan Sheva is B'dieved, and how, right? How do we, that's just the question. Until now, all we dealt with was, is really HaKol Shochatin a Lashon of Lechatchila? And we concluded that there is room for the question. Even if you say HaKol isn't always Lechatchila, it seems like here, because of Shchitatan Sheva follows it, there's definitely some sort of problem here. Okay, so now we're going to get, today we're only going to deal with the first answer. Okay, the first answer is Rabba Bar Ula. Ama Rabba Bar Ula. Hachi katane, this is what the Mishnah meant. Hakol shokatin, ba'afilu tameh bechulin. Everyone can shecht, even someone who's tameh can shecht chulin. Obviously someone who's tameh can't shecht kodshim. Or we're going to see, maybe they can, okay? But someone who's tamei can shecht chulin. So now they say, and that's what it means, hakol shochatin. Okay? So now we're going to have to read, where I charted out, how we're going to read each part of the Mishnah in another minute, okay? So, tamei b'chulin ma'ala me'emra, and that's, what's the chidush? Of course someone tamei can shecht chulin. Why would there even be a question? When we're talking about chulin, there's no sanctity to it. Why would there even be an issue of a tamei person? And this we've seen a bunch of times. Chulin shenasu al tarata kodesh. It's talking about chulin. If you remember, there were people who kept a certain level of, they treated all their chulin as if it was kodesh. Right? That's called chulin that were done al taharata kodesh. Okay, that they treated everything like hekdesh because they wanted to preserve the laws of tumah and tahara, and they basically held this higher level of sanctity, and they treated even chulin like kodesh. The kasavar, and then this basically the Mishnah, according to this reading, holds chulin shenasu al tarata kodesh ki kodesh damu. Okay, they're like kodeshim. Ah, well, if they're like kodeshim, what are we going to see here? Then you actually can shech them. How is that? If they're treated like kodeshim, how can a tamei person shech kodeshim? So now we're going to see. Ketzad. So how does this work? So now we're going to explain basically the way I view this. We're going to explain the words Hakol Shochatin. Mevi sakin aruka, you take a very long knife, v'shochetba, kedei shelo yigaba basar. You take a very long knife and you shech the animal from a distance so that you don't actually touch the animal. Because if you touch the animal, you would make the animal tameh. But as long as you're holding the kli, the sakin, far away from, right? You're holding, and you know, the animal is far away from you. Now, what's the issue? Why aren't we matame the sakin, right? Okay, we're going to get back into laws of tumah and tahara. Okay, maybe we should review for a minute. I actually put a little chart at the end. In av hatuma, right? Someone who's an av, that's like the davar itself, or certain cases where people become an av hatuma also from coming contaminated with something, like someone who's tameh lameit is an av hatuma, is mitame people and kelim, okay? A rishon letuma is mitame ma'achaluma, oh, and also ma'achalum mashke, and a rishon letuma is mitame only foods and not kelim, okay? So now you can see the difference, because this person, we're going to have to figure out what kind of tame he is, but he's not mitame. We're worried he's going to come in contact with the animal. Once the animal's dead, it's going to be food. So we're worried he'll touch the animal once it's dead and be mitame it. But we're not worried about him touching the knife, which is a kli. Okay, now why is the knife a kli? Usually a kli needs a beit kibul, but not if it's matechet. Remember, pshute, play matechet, right? A metal that's flat is also makabel tum'ah. So the sakin is a makabel tum'ah, so we'll have to come up with a case where the person is a rishon and not an avatuma. Okay, because otherwise, if he's an avatuma, he would also be matameh the kli, or maybe we'll come up with some answer to that also. Okay, so now what are we going to say? So he takes this long knife, shochepa kadesh shelo yigaba basar. Now how he does such a good shchita with that, a kosher shchita is a bit of a challenge also, but okay, let's assume. So now they say, ubimukdashim lo yishchot shema yigaba basar. Now we're going to explain, well, if we're doing chulin al tarata kodesh, Why is it only chulin then that it's allowed? It should be allowed also for kudshim. So what do we say? Kudshim were machmir. Okay? That's, even though we're saying, okay, well, this is like a not exact mathematics. We're saying that chulin, shenasu al tarata kodesh, are like, right? Shenasu al tarata kodesh, are like kudshim. Okay? But they're not 100% like kudshim. Right. Okay, you could say that. So they're like kudshim that we're going to be a little more machmir and say, well, if you're tameh, you can't, right? And we're going to allow you, we're not worried that you're going to touch the animal. And we're going to allow you to do it with this long knife. But when it comes to kudshim, we're more machmir and we say, lo yishchot shema yigaba basar. Even though, right, even though you're far away. V'im shachat, if you did it anyway in kudshim, v'omer, bari li shalon agati, I'm sure I didn't touch. So now, how do we read this Mishnah? Okay, the Mishnah works like this. Okay, I'm going to go back. You can look at the chart. Hakol shochati means chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. You can shecht lichatchila as long as you have this very long knife and you shecht from a distance. But now, when we get to the shchitatang shera, but what can't you do if it's actual kodshim? A tame can't do it. However, if he did and he says for sure, I know that I didn't touch the animal, b'di'evit, it's okay. So now we have a lechatchila situation, which is the chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. We have the b'di'evit situation, which is the same thing, but with kodshim. That only b'di'evit will it be k'shera, and only in the case where he says, I'm certain I didn't touch it. Now, continues the Mishnah, chutz mi cheresh shoteh v'katan. What's that? Afilu b'chulin grede di'avin namilo, right? Even if it's regular chulin, not even shenasu al tarat hakodesh, they can't do shchit at all. We've now had three subjects. Chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh, kodshim, and now chulin, regular chulin. Okay, where the which seemed like we were talking about one thing, we're now talking about three totally different things. Why? There's three. Okay, we're going to see that there's five psule shchita. Today we're going to talk about three. Shema yishu, shema yidrasu, v'shema yachlidu. Okay, shema yishu, you're not allowed to wait in between the, I think it's the two simanim. We're going to get to all these after and understand them much better. That's Shema Yeshu. Shema Yidrasu is, we're worried you're going to push the sakin down. Okay, you're supposed to put the knife, you're supposed to kind of go with the knife back and forth, and it's supposed to be a swift movement, and it's supposed to come from, like, in one direction, and you basically put it, like, behind the simanim and push it, and kind of cut toward you, almost, like that, or something like that. We're going to see it more in detail. But Shema Yachlidu, oh no, I think I actually said the wrong way. Yachlidu is
the barrel of the pipe.
Right. You're gonna put it under one of the simanim. What? What are you saying?
To burrow is to, you know, to stick the knife all the way in and then cut outwards.
Right. So that's the one. I said it wrong. So dressage, right. Is dressage you put it downward instead of
press the knife.
Right. Ah. Normally, like, think about when you cut vegetables. What do? You put the sakin and you press it down. But what you're supposed to do in shchita is move it back and forth. And, you know, in other words, take the knife and move it. Like in a
sawing,
yeah, in a sawing kind of motion, not in the way you would, let's say, cut a vegetable or something. So that's the concern of Shema Yidrasu, okay? And Shema Yachlidu is that you're going to kind of put the knife in and then pull it out toward you and do the shchita in the wrong direction. Okay, so therefore we're worried about them doing, not knowing that that's not the way to do it. Okay, now we're stuck though. When it says, V'kulan sheshachatu ahaya, who's that referring to? Now, what do we assume it's referring to? The cheresh shoteh katan. If they did it anyway and someone was watching, then it's okay. But now they're going to say it doesn't make any sense to say that. Ilema, okay, here you can look in the chart also. There's basically three possibilities till they get to the answer. Three possibilities they're going to reject. Ilema acheresh shoteh katan alakai. The wording of the Mishnah, look at it, it says, Hakol shochatin u'shchitatan k'shera chutz mi'cheresh shoteh v'katan shem yichalkalu u'shchitatan. V'kulan sheshachatu. Now, if you're talking about the cheresh shoteh v'katan, what should it say? V'im shachatu. Because we're talking about them, right? In general, if you're talking about the previous phrase, you just say en if, right? You wouldn't say v'kulan. Why are you going back to kulan? So therefore, they say it doesn't make any sense, right? If it was cheresh shoteh v'katan, alakai, they were already talking about cheresh shoteh v'katan, therefore, ve'im shachatu mebaile, it should have said, and if they slaughter, then, you know, in acherim ro'im, and whatever, it's fine. Ela, atame b'chulin, if you want to say, it's a tame person shechting chulin, ha'amar l'chatchila nami shachit. If it's regular chulin, right, then we said l'chatchila, tame can do it. So that's not, because remember, it says, b'dievet, it'll be okay at the end. Ve'ela atame b'mukdashim, if you want to say it's atame, when he slaughters the mukdashim, and we want to say b'dievet, it's okay. What did we already say? B'bari lisage. We already said, as long as he, and that's what makes it okay, if he says, I know I didn't touch the animal. So then it would be fine. But it's not just because someone else saw. It's bibarili, it's fine. So you don't need this somebody else looking over and watching, right? And then here we're basically saying, we trust him himself. We don't need another outside person telling us. So what do we answer? It is the last case. It's talking about tameh b'mukdashim. Okay, so now we're understanding the mission in a totally, utterly different way than we understood it previously. The last section, which we thought was talking about the chevesh shel teva katan, if an adult is watching and sees it's done okay, then it's okay. Here we're talking about when a tamei person slaughters it with a long knife, and he slaughters kodshim, b'dievet, it's okay if somebody saw. Why isn't it okay just enough if he says? Because deleite kamand nishayli. It's a case where he's no longer here. We know he did it. We don't know if he touched it or not. He's not here to tell us. He left, and we don't know where to find him, right? We can't email him. So what do? If someone else is there and they saw and they said, oh, we saw he didn't touch, then we accept their testimony. Okay? And then we accept his shchita, basically. Okay. That's basically the way Rabba Bar-Ula explains the Mishnah. Okay? So again, Hakol Shochetin is Atame al Shchitata, right? Who does Chulin al Shchitata Kodesh. Shchitatan Kshera is B'dievet, if he did it for Kodshim. B'dievet, it's Pasul, as long as he says Bari Li Shalom Nagati. I'm now going to jump ahead and says, or alternatively, if someone else sees, if he's not there, someone else sees and says he didn't touch, then it's okay. And the Cheresh Shot of a Katan can never do it because they can mess it up. Okay. Now we're going to ask another question before we go on to the next opinion, which we're not going to get to today. But we're going to get to another question. Hai tameh b'mukdashim, meha chanavka, meha tam nafka. According to Rabbi Bar-Ula's understanding of our Mishnah is coming to teach us what? That a tameh can slaughter kodshim, and b'dievet, if he did, it's okay. Right? So now they're going to say, but wait, we already learned that from a Mishnah in Zvachim. Kol apsulim sheshachatu, shchitatan k'shera. Shashchita k'shera b'zarim b'nashim u'b'avadim u'b'tmeim. What do you see from here? Right? Any of the people who can't shech, the shchitatan is shera. And shchita is kasher, right? Because it works if it's a zar, women, avadim, tmeim, vafilu b'kodshe kodshim, even in kodshe kodshim, ubevad shelo yu tmeim nogim babasar. So the whole halacha that Rabbi Bar-Ula claims we're learning from our Mishnah, we learned from a different Mishnah. We generally have a concept that we don't have two Mishnayot that teach the same halacha, even though once in a while we do, but we don't generally. So what are they going to answer? It's okay that we have two Mishnayot that teach the same halacha. And the question is going to be, which is the Ikar and which is, it's just coming because of another topic. We're going to have two ways of viewing it. For this, I charted at the bottom. The first answer is, Hacha Ikar, really this is its location. Hatam, there, I did the Tana Sharp Sulim, Tana Nami Tameh B'Mukdashim. Since there, the topic in Zvachim was, which kind of people can do it? We weren't really talking about the tameh, but since we brought up the tameh, we mentioned the tameh also. Okay? We kind of add him to the list, even though that's really not Zikar place. So here really is where we wanted to have the real halacha about the tameh. V'ibai deim, alternatively, you could say the opposite. Hatam ikar debekodshim kai. There really it's the most appropriate place because there it's talking about shchitat kodshim. Right? And that's what we want to basically talk about here. But hacha, here, I did tani tameh b'chulin, tani nami tameh b'mukdashim. And since here we were talking about tameh and chulin, we mentioned also what would happen in tameh and mukdashim. This is very classic of, you know, you're talking about one topic and it's very similar, so you'll bring up another topic. The question is, where is its ikar location? Two different viewpoints. So now they want to know the question we said before, which is, hai tameh di itame b'mai. What type of tumah was he? Ilema di itame b'meit. If he comes tame la meit, b'chalal cherev amar achmana. Chalal, hareyu cherev, hareyu kechalal. Okay, so here, we're going to say basically that there's a halacha about tumat meit, that the Torah says, b'chol asher yiga, let me just read the whole pasuk, b'chol asher yiga p'nasa de b'chalal cherev o b'meit, okay, yitma shivat yamim. Okay, so what do we learn there? That a cherev that touches a dead body is considered like the status of a dead person himself. The same tumah. So therefore, if the cherev touched a person, if this is the way it works, if a cherev touches the person who died, or even a person who was metame lame, what would happen to the cherev? It would have the status of an avatuma. If that's the case, the sakin would be an avatuma, right? And it would be metame, adam and kelim, or even you could also say the person himself would be an avatuma. He would be metame the sakin. The sakin would be a rishon. The rishon would be metame the sheni. Would be metame the meat. So it would be a problem. Okay. So the Gemara asked why the Rishonim asked, why did you say chalal cherev? It really could be the person himself. And it's, even the person himself, you'd have the same question. Whether it's the knife also, but even himself would be likewise an issue. So if that's the case, avatumahu. Litame l'sakin, he'll be metame the sakin, va'azal sakin v'tamite l'basar. Right? So then the sakin will go and be metame the basar. So it can't be tumah made. Ela de'itme b'sheretz. So they say it must be he was metame b'sheretz. Then what happens? The person's a rishon. The person can be metame ma'achal ha'mashke, but he's not metame a kli. Okay, so he can't be metame that. Second answer, ibait ema la'olam de'itame b'meit ukigon shabadak kromit shel kanev shachata. He found a, how does it explain the kromit? A stalk of reed that was sharp. He checked that it was sharp enough. There's laws about how sharp it needs to be. He checked that it was sharp enough, and he used that for shlita. Now, what's the difference? Only pshute, exactly. It's not metal. Only pshute klei matechet. This is not a klei matechet. Therefore, unless it has a beit kibul, like a receptacle, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So then, that would be the case where it's not mekabel tuma. Titania, how do you know you can use that for shlita? Because it says, "Bakol shochatim bein b'tzur bein b'zchuchi bein b'kromit shel kaneh." You don't necessarily need a knife for shchita. Remember that was we had that whole discussion about a sakim being a klisharet in the mikdash. In the mikdash, you need that, but for chulin, you don't need that. And therefore, oh no, even in the mikdash, could you use it? I forget. Right, bakol shochatim must be in the mikdash because we're talking about kodshim here.
Torah does not stipulate that shchita must be done with a knife. It simply states.
Right, but that's right now. I guess even if we're talking about chulin here, we're talking about chulin, but we're talking about chulin chenasu al tarat hakodesh. So if we're doing a tarat hakodesh again, if he did it in case with this reed, then that wouldn't be metame. So two ways of reading it: either it's tumat sheret or it's tumat meit, but he's using a kli that it's not makabel tumah.